there's going to be a day where we finally figure out where Jimmy Hoffa is buried. Now, his body's going to come out of the grave, because righteous or unrighteous, you're going to be resurrected. Every person is going to be resurrected to eternal life. And we'll either stand before the judgment seat of Christ, or we'll stand before the great white throne.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. The message you're about to hear today is part of a series that's entitled, You Asked For It. I asked the church family at Holt Assembly of God to pick four topics they'd like to hear me preach and share from the Word of God. The first topic they selected were the events of the end time. In Revelation 22:17, Jesus said, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Are you ready should the Lord make his return today? Would your family members be ready should the Lord make his return today?" I pray that you are blessed and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message. Today's message is part one of the timeline.
But since you asked for it, you're going to hear about eschatology. And that's just a fancy $5 word for basically what the Bible says concerning the end times. That's the theological word for it, the study of the end time events, what the Word of God says concerning the end. So when I was thinking about those subjects, those topics that you select, I thought, man, there is no way on earth that I could scratch the surface of end time events in one message. It's just impossible. And so I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to have like four little mini-series under the umbrella of You Asked For It. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. The events surrounding the end times were once the cornerstone of Christian preaching and teaching. It used to be that we as Pentecostals would preach on the end times. It was just part of who we are. It was part of what brought us together as Pentecostals. This urgency, this divine urgency that we all sensed that was present, that made us hungry for the promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that we can propagate the gospel. And these used to be the cornerstone messages of our faith. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. This is what Paul writes. "But I not want you to be," what? "I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." Verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." Verse 15, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep." Verse 16, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." Verse 18, "Therefore comfort one another with these words." The message I'm going to speak to you today is just simply entitled, The Timeline. The Timeline. If we don't understand the timeline of these events, if we're incorrect on how these things occur, it will dramatically affect the way we approach the Word of God, and not only how we approach the Word of God, how we then begin to minister the Word of God, how we see the world, how we see the lost. If our timeline is all messed up, it has a dramatic effect on how we live our lives as Christians. And it can be damaging to our daily witness, and it can be damaging to our approach to evangelism. In the late 1800s and all the way into the late 1900s, if you look back at church history, there was this dramatic increase in missions work. There was this dramatic increase on reaching unreached people, excuse me. The Western world especially saw this great need to share the gospel with unreached people groups. And one of the catalysts, if you'll pay attention to great theologians and preachers through that time, you'll find that a common preaching that was amongst them, Pentecostal, it doesn't matter, if you'll find a common thread of end times, of preaching the end times. Some of you that are older could probably remember sermon after sermon that you heard on end time events, the coming of Jesus. Listen, if we don't understand the end times or the timeline, its imminency, we'll lose compassion and our enthusiasm to reach lost people. If we don't understand the end time timeline, so to speak, what's going to take place in the future, if we don't have a good grasp of what it means, if we don't really believe, if we lose its imminency, that it can happen at any time, we will lose our compassion, our passion for the lost. But I do not want you to be ignorant. He wants them to know something. Brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. And the church was ignorant concerning these events, meaning they did not know, again, they did not understand. They did not understand the timeline of the end times. They were concerned about the people who had died in Christ, awaiting for Christ to return. And if you read the history of the early church, you'll see that they fully believed in this immediate return of Jesus. I mean, they had a deep-held belief that Jesus was coming at any moment. And they lived their lives accordingly. It's the first key that we need to learn about the end times, is that when we truly, honestly believe that Jesus could come at any time, it should change how we live our lives as Christians. So when people began to die, because it was surprised them that, hey, so-and-so died today. Well, there's a funeral. I can't believe he died. I thought Jesus would come before he died. I mean, there was a real surprise that these people were confronted with when people began to die, when the Lord began to tarry his return. They didn't quite understand. There was this anxiety that existed then, that what happens when people die before Jesus returns. Now, what's interesting is this. We're talking first century Christianity, and yet there was confusion even in the first century about things of the end times. Isn't that interesting? Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed even over 2,000 years. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 3. Paul again writes, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our gathering together with him, we ask you, do not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." The first generations of Christians were already confused about the end times. And again, 2,000 years later, more people are more confused, I think, and it should not be that way. We shouldn't be confused about what's taking place or what's going to take place over the horizon. 2,000 years later, we shouldn't be confused about what's going to take place. I think the Word of God is very clear about what is going to take place next. What I like to do is, again, that's why the timeline is so important. Again, if our timeline is all messed up, it's going to mess us up on how we approach the world, how we approach life, how we approach the lost. There's going to be a day that every one of us are either going to die, we're going to go the way of the grave, or Jesus is going to return and we're going to be changed, we're going to be transformed. This body will die either way because it will be changed. This body as we know it, thank God, the older that I get, is going to change. I think of my mother. When she died, she went to be with the Lord. Her spirit, her soul is with Jesus. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But her body is still in Terre Haute, Indiana, at Roselawn Cemetery. But there will be a resurrection, and when that resurrection occurs, that body is going to come out of the ground. But she is active, she is alive, she is present with the Lord. Sometimes we lose view of that. And the early church didn't have that view quite. They didn't quite have that understanding, that truth. And this is what Paul's trying to say. Listen, chill, relax. The body's in the grave, but the soul, the spirit, it is with the Lord. To be apart from this world is to be present with the Lord. There's going to be a day where we finally figure out where Jimmy Hoffa is buried. Now, his body's going to come out of the grave because righteous or unrighteous, you're going to be resurrected. Every person is going to be resurrected to eternal life. And we'll either stand before the judgment seat of Christ or we'll stand before the great white throne. These truths were eminent to the early church. And I hate to say it, these truths have become fairy tale to us. To the modern church, they're more fairy tale, out of sight, out of mind. The early church was under constant belief. They believed that every day Jesus was coming. They believed that when they woke, this could be the day that our Lord returns. And if not, they would still live their lives busy unto the Lord as if he was coming. Now, I want you to think about parable after parable, teaching after teaching, how Jesus impressed upon them this imminency that the Lord would be coming. His return was at hand. I wonder what our version of Christianity would look like if we seriously governed ourselves by that truth. You know, part of the fabric of their being was that the Lord was coming. You know, instead of saying hello to people or saying goodbye to people, a lot of them would use an Aramaic saying. They would say, Maranatha. They would greet each other with Maranatha, which is translated, means the Lord is coming. Our Lord comes. And people believed with all their hearts they would encourage one another with that phrase, that they would encourage each other by saying, Maranatha, the Lord comes. People believed with all their hearts they would experience the rapture, the return of Jesus before they died. And clearly when this didn't happen, it messed some of them up. Church, the question I need you to answer this morning is this. Do you understand the timeline? Do you yourself truly understand the timeline? And what I mean is this. Not that you understand the timeline here, but do you understand the timeline here? Do you understand the timeline in your heart? Is it really part of who you are? When the church loses its conscious awareness and its expectancy in the return of Jesus, it's the lost who suffers, and this grieves the heart of God. When the church loses its conscious awareness and its expectancy in the return of Jesus, listen to me, the temporal things of this life become more important. Souls are eternal. Listen, we're going to walk on gold. It's just asphalt. When we get to heaven, believe this or not, relationships are not going to be important. Souls are going to be important. I wondered if we would have more of a thinking, more of our minds set on eternity as we should if our thinking would change and if our behavior would change. Paul writes to those confused about the timeline, telling them the dead in Christ will rise first. Their mortal body sown in the ground will come up, be raised immortal, and those bodies will come out of the ground. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Now, I don't know the timing of all this. I know that we're going to be changed In a twinkling of an eye, so to speak, correct? But we shall not precede them. So in my opinion, we're going to get to see the first glimpses of this. That's just my opinion. Now, you can have a different opinion. It's okay. But we are not going to surpass them. Can you imagine being in the cemetery one day, and all of a sudden, it'll be the most incredible Hollywood movie ever. Can you imagine? Now listen, if I'm dead in the grave, I pray God gives me a sense of humor. Let me come crawling out of the grave before I'm taken up. Let me just freak somebody out first. But those bodies are going to come out of the ground. They're going to be reunited with the soul, with the spirit, caught up in the clouds, meet the Lord, and then we that are left, we're going to be caught up together with him, be transformed in that moment. The timeline begins at the rapture. Okay, the timeline begins at the rapture. I know that Israel becoming a nation in 1948 was a miracle, but it was not an event on the timeline.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I hope this message was a blessing and encouraging to you. The events of the end time should not cause us to be anxious as believers. Instead, the imminency of these great events should encourage us to ready ourselves and to ready others for the glorious return of our Savior. If you're in our area and you're looking for a church home, I want to encourage you to come and worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. We have children's ministries available. Or you can join us on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. If you'd like to find out more information about our church, you can find us on the web at www.holtag.org. Or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Again, I want to thank you for listening to this broadcast, and I pray that you are blessed and encouraged as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.